Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 12, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, June 12, 2019. Baha Sulam, Letter 25. Initially every soul is already in a perfect state. It is encased in an ego shell only in order to be freed of the shame of gratuitous reception. By that it is liberated from the ego, turning reception into bestowal. And therein lies its reward, in adhesion. The next stage of societal development is unification in societies above their internal egoism. And then, above societies. All the processes must occur in all societies' countries. In the USSR, China and so forth, they thought they could skip capitalistic ego development. But it's inevitable. Under developing capitalism, any person can reach the greatest heights. But nature is founded on egoism, which has a peculiar character to its development. Accumulation of wealth has halted the opportunities for growth for all. Those who are successful have blocked the development of all. They became aristocrats. The period of growth is over. The property of Kabbalistic books. Question: how can we scientifically explain, without mysticism or religious miracles, that reading the books written by Kabbalists helps correct our intention and change one's inner state? Answer: what does mysticism or religion have to do with it? Neither are part of Kabbalah. Reading Kabbalistic books helps orient you internally toward a goal because they speak of how your soul should be aimed toward it. The same way we tune a musical instrument, we tune ourselves by reading Kabbalistic books. This tuning fork comes through the books. Try reading them and you will feel it. In no way should you define it with any religious precepts, obligations, or various mystical bemusements. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 20th of January 2019. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips. December 9, 2018. Question: what is a true desire according to Kabbalah? Is it when all other desires disappear or become insignificant? Answer: nothing disappears, nothing is lost. Only the importance of each desire rises or diminishes. Question: can a 10 develop incorrectly? Answer: certainly. There are thousands of ways to develop incorrectly and only one way to develop correctly. The threat of the incorrect development of a 10 is always present. Question: who or what is testing a person on the spiritual path? Answer: it is the properties of the Creator to which one must adjust to a particular degree, in a particular style, in every step of one's spiritual development. A person must constantly adapt him or herself while passing through the stages of development and adjust to the properties of the Creator. Question: how is it possible to learn to hold on to two lines simultaneously and not fall into one of them? Answer: realize yourself in the group in a way that you will not harm the group with your egoism, and then you will feel balance and will maintain this condition. Question: if I finished an introductory course together with a friend and then entered a 10 while my friend remained as a guest, how should I relate to him, as a friend or as a guest? Answer: relate to him as a guest. It is only to the degree that he participates in a group that he is your friend. Question: are there different correct scenarios for the development of events on the spiritual path? How do you want the same thing that the Creator wants from you? Answer: the Creator wants only one thing from you, for you to get as close as possible to the group. Then he will be able to be revealed in it. Try, that is all that he is waiting for. Question: is it possible to combine creative activity with the wisdom of Kabbalah? Answer: activity is activity, and Kabbalah is Kabbalah. Do not mix one with the other. It will give you nothing. You will get confused in this and in that. Moreover, in the end, you will fail in both. Question: how should one accept gratitude from friends? Answer: accept it as manifestation of their love for you, which means that you must relate to them in the same way. At the same time, thank the Creator because if he did not want this, it would not happen. From the Kabbalah Lesson in Russian, December 9, 2018. New Life Number 261. Sex Education, The Crisis Between Male and Female, Part 1.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on New Life, the educational series of shows with Dr. Lightman. Hello, 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 Nitza Mazoz, hello. Today on the studio, we want to learn how to take our life to a better place, to a new life, a life in which we understand our life better, we feel what's the right thing to do, and we operate in the best possible way that flows with our development as human beings. And the direction of our talk today is, this will be like a series of talks for parents. Each one of us, he either was a child and had parents, or today is in a relationship where he has kids, or today you're already grandparents, but there are things that you have to know. Today, as parents, we'd like to learn how to correctly teach our children from the youngest age about our development as human beings, about male and female, sexual education, and all that stems from this in our world, in order to know how to cope with this topic in the best possible way. Nitza, please. Okay, so first of all, as parents, the topic of sexual education from the youngest age, it is a realm that is really missing. I feel a lack in information, means, books, actually knowledge, how to correctly convey sexual education to children from the youngest age. What they teach the more elderly kids in school and what we've learned is more or less things that have to do with biological changes, the physical changes that a body undergoes, or how to prevent an unwanted pregnancy and so on. What is the right intimacy that has to build? What is the right process that leads to sex? All that is missing. As a parent, I know that if something's lacking in a certain realm, then also I'm perplexed. I don't exactly know how to talk about it, what to say, what not to say. And then many parents, many times, they simply don't talk about this and the child naturally. It's a need that develops in him and he starts looking for information about it. And then usually he stumbles upon different bits of information that aren't necessarily the correct, the best information. And therefore, I'd like to take it into our hands as parents to sexual education, and to gradually start saying, how do we explain this and pass it on correctly for it to help us, help our children? I have a question. How could it be that in the 21st century, we, that went through a history of tens of thousands of years, suddenly we think that we are lacking sexual education for children, when there's nothing more natural than that? Can you explain that? It's a very interesting question. I think that when we prepared ourselves for a show, this is a question that I ask myself a lot. What's going on here? What happened? And what happened to humanity? Right, and I saw that there were different perceptions about taboo and everything that has to do with sex and sexuality, and their religions, and in which you don't talk about it at all. It's like a sin, and myths about it. It remains someplace in the dark. And today, in the West, when I tried to look for books about this, I discovered that only in 1969, only 1969 came out the first book in the U.S. That's called All That You Wanted to Ask About Sex and You Didn't Dare Ask. It was the very first time that it opened. So the info is lacking, the right attitude, and therefore I'd really like to hear from you. What's the right approach, natural approach, to teach our kids, maybe first of all about the differences between the sexes, and only then about how to connect between them? I really don't know how to turn to this. Where do you start? You, with all of your life experience with being a mom and us and a grandma, so what's happening? So this is what I said many times, because you don't know how to start with it. You either don't talk about it at all, or you're waiting for the kid to ask something and you try to answer something and you're not sure. We don't have the right approach, attitude, the philosophical basis. With respect to ourselves, we don't know what's sex, what's love. Where's the male part? Where's the female part? What's the common part? Where are the parents with respect to the kids? And from which age to what age everything's supposed to be? And all this realm has one big question mark around it. And here we can say that no one is sure. Because in all the rest of the things, we have those that understand what to do as if they're certain of themselves. And here we see no one knows and everyone fails. That's what's interesting. Everyone. Meaning, in all cultures, in all nations. I'm talking about modern times that scrutinizes all the big mess and problem that we have in humanity in general, the general crisis. So here, the crisis is deepest and most fundamental. And it's because this is the basis of our life. And if we don't understand this, then what follows is that we don't understand and can't arrange our whole life. It's like at home, in a family. If there's no connection, if spouses don't match mentally, sexually, husband and wife, if there's no match, nothing will help. Money, conditions, nothing. Whatever. Won't help. They won't get along. Meaning, love and sex is very fundamental. The balance between them, the connection between them, the right balance between them, dosage, there's habit around this which has to do with social consent and pressure from the environment, and this is the source of life and the basis of our existence. And accordingly, we might say that all of our education, kids' education, is around this. A child that starts suckling from his mother, he starts understanding that there's a mother, she's like this and like this, and I came out of her and I suckle from her, and there's dad who's on the side, and something, some kind of a role, but a bit more distant. I'd say that what was good in ancient times, where everything was natural. The sons, up to the age of 2 or 3, they were on the women's side, then they went to the men's side, and they became men. They used to go to mom for something there, to be taken care of or something, but from a certain age and on, the parents in general, they were divided into two parts. Women are here, men are here. Girls always with women. Boys, they come out from under the mother and move on to the father. And all the men were there, and everything was natural. And all the relations between the man and the woman were relatively open, natural, such that people didn't really attribute any importance, significant importance to it. I remember times that in the same room lived the parents and the young couple and their children, meaning the grandchildren, meaning grandmother and the grandparents, their children, and even another generation in one room. And they didn't think that there should be another room. It was normal, it was clear. Meaning it was so I don't know how to put it. Both the times and the intention, attention to sex and the relations between him and her, they didn't take up that much place. First of all, it wasn't that developed. Besides the elites, where somehow it was something. But in all the other layers of population, it was pretty simple. It was limited. People used to get married with their own kind, meaning according to your social position, same city, same village, neighbors. They used to close the relations between the boy and the girl. The parents used to close this. You used to pay for a woman. Different things. It was like property, in short. And they didn't describe it like emotions, and they didn't let the young boys and young girls, or young men, young women, to make this kind of connection between them. It was up to 150, maybe maximum 200 years ago. The problem is the more we're advancing toward the 20th century, we start seeing how these emotions and feelings between man and woman, they become more conspicuous. People start paying attention to it. These emotions start developing. Sex against sex. Earlier it was because there was nothing better to do, only the elites were engaged in this, people that didn't really have what to do in life. Really so, and all the simple people, they used to live in order to make money, make children, have a home. Everything was more simple. They didn't pay attention to it. They understood that this is how we're supposed to be. Advance and live. And there was a very simple philosophy to life. I need a woman that's suitable for me, who's healthy, can have children, keep the house. Looks like this, looks like that. There was no demand. There were no standards. If she'll take off 20 kilograms, I'll marry her. And if she won't, I don't. On the contrary, they looked at a woman that had plus 20 kilos and not minus 20 kilos. And there was a completely different direction. And here, with the general crisis, we also went into this crisis where there are big needs, and suddenly the sex popped up, which is actually the basis, our foundation on the one hand. On the other hand, it was a natural foundation. And it became artificial when we started with fashion and all the culture started reviving around this. I don't know. People were more interested in nature and different other things. Today, it's in a more hidden way. Sex is everywhere, in a more concealed fashion, however you look at it. It's how will we build the new model for a car? We're also doing it through a sexic approach. A home, a picture, furniture, whatever. Everything has to be sexy, so-called. And it's development. We can't say whether it's right or wrong. It suits us or doesn't. I like it or not. But that direction is the direction we've developed into this, and we have to see what is the balance here? Because a person here is actually between all of these forces which develop him. From right and from left, and he's the middle line between them. And he has to take all these things, all these urges into his hands and balance them and bring them to some kind of an equilibrium, to a good rational conclusion. It's rational, good, calm. And by that he grows, that he takes all the powers of nature correctly, sees them correctly. And here I'd really say that we're falling behind dozens of years at least. In my eyes, it's not even dozens, but a few hundreds of years, but let's say 200 years. That we really didn't pay attention to all these things, but we followed the development where suddenly we connected sex to democracy and different political processes and social processes. And we didn't give it define it, because sex is so basic, we've connected it to different places so that we hid it under sociology and psychology and pedagogics, and it's everywhere. It's as if it's everywhere, but it itself does not exist. And in education, for sure, and in culture, somehow externally, and where it is present, it's in the media. Of course, in the movies, television, internet. Literature, and all the rest of the things, we use it in a hidden way. And accordingly, we want to let it appear in the educational system only in a very limited way. Like you said, that it is either with respect to different sexual illnesses, different deviations, and so on, but it doesn't have to do anything with sex itself, because we're not operating like animals, that sex works only according to the hormones. Were it so, then according to the scent, according to something, I'd recognize who's suitable, I'd mate with her, and finish with the whole sex issue. And the same on behalf of the woman with respect to the man. Animals have a whole laboratory in their nose and mouth, and accordingly, they get along. They don't need any matchmakers or any whole process, but it's like they don't eat something which is bad for them. Same way they will not connect with someone who is not good for them to continue the generation with. For them, that's what sex is. Therefore, it comes in the different seasons or in a certain period, and later on they don't know each other. There's like this inner program that is operated, they connect and drift apart. Is it sex or not? Or is that specifically sex and everything else doesn't have to do with that? We have to understand why we, as opposed to animals, we're really connected to each other. We're going to be connected with one another all life long. But the moment I become a man, an adult, then from this point on, I have to connect myself to the female species as a male for life. It's something very different from animals. And we see that it's not because of culture or education or something, but naturally, from generations back, that's how it is in human society, with everyone, with everything, however it is. It could be Indians and South Americans and Japanese and somewhere in the far north or in Africa or Australopithecus, so on. Meaning, but this is in human nature, this is rooted in human nature, the lengthy connection between the sexes, between the male and female. And therefore, here there has to be an addition, very interesting addition, that we did not get any heritage for. What do I mean? We're developing from one generation to the next. And each generation actually needs special education of its own, culture of its own, new relations between people, and accordingly new relations between the species. If we develop this way throughout the years, then each one of us changes and the relations between us change. Are these relations between us, between each and every one and all of us, between the male and female, each and every generation, that is, generation, 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 and the relations between the male and female on this generation, on that generation, they change. Do they change naturally? And then we don't have to pay attention to it. Or, from one generation to the next, we need to pass on these new relations like we do in science, culture, education, that if we don't pass it on, then the next generation won't know. What's going on here? It's passed on naturally according to the inner development, both in the male and female, and then they know that this is how we have to behave. Or we got this from mom and dad, mine and hers, and then we have to behave this way. So here's the question. It's a big question, meaning, is the connection between man and woman in every generation, does it come through an educational system or through the natural system? So we've seen that throughout many generations, It used to come through a natural educational system. But people live together. That used to live together. Even my teacher, the Rabash, when he got married with this young woman, they were 18. Her parents were wealthy. Wealthy, meaning they had an apartment in Jerusalem, in a respectable place, next to a place called Shabbat Square. And he said, I went to live with them because my father had no place to live for us. So they had two rooms in their home, and one room they rented it to someone. And also we lived in the same room with our parents. And there were brothers and sisters in the same room. Back then, there were such rooms there that today they divide them into four rooms and sell it as an apartment. But in the past, it used to be a room. So it wasn't considered something uncomfortable or unpleasant or something. Natural. Natural. That a young couple lives in the same room with the parents, hers or his, and brothers and sisters. Meaning there's a kind of an inner conveying of education and culture and sex and relations, like between everyone, like it was also, like it was, so it will be. That's how it was in his home, in her house, and also in their homes of the new couple. So even though that from generation to generation it used to change, But it had to be passed on through education and not naturally, like they feel like it. But that education was, it was so naturally. It was passed this way on from life. And people, they were closer to nature. Most of them lived in villages close to animals, understood and felt how it is in the animate world. And a person in this term, in this relation, also belongs to the animalistic world. There was no taboo around it or shame. And therefore today, after only maybe 100, 150, 200 years, it's hard for us to depict their whole perception. The way they saw things and how we see things. And also there wasn't such a separation between the parents and the children. Also in the inner development, the connection between the generations was closer. There wasn't a disconnection, such a big gap with all that has to do with the development of the generation. And that's why it's no wonder that suddenly we've stumbled on some problem. From Freud and on, it was really felt. But there was still no basis for all these things. Also, the First, Second World War, all of Europe was that was with the development of the atomic weapons, and we went into this external whirlpool that it was a kind of an addition to things, and also fashion that wasn't that. Um, For the intermediate levels and the lower levels, it started developing that. And started developing this way. And it's no wonder that humanity kind of let it go. And suddenly they came to a state where they don't know how to relate to it, how to, there's not even any right preface from previous generations as to how to turn to this, how to approach it. So we have to start really a new direction and see that the crisis in relations between men and women, husband and wife, the crisis both in sex and also in between the husband and wife, this has nothing to do with sex, the crisis between, these are several levels on which the crisis is very deep, unclear, fundamental, really fundamental, and all that happens with us. That if we'll know how to turn to it and how to correct it, then we'll know how to cure most of our problems in this time. Because the topic, the theme has to do with the basis of life. It doesn't have to do with our biology, physiology. It's a matter of, it's an essential matter. That doesn't even have to do with the human race, but with our origin, our spiritual origin. So, please, or we'll get deeper in, or still we'll talk a bit more about the intro into the problem. The intro, if I understand correctly, if you, what you said, then the crisis is between the male and female parts, maybe even put it this way, meaning that there is a crisis between two forces, two bases of nature that are in crisis between them. That to this day, it was not that clear because they've developed and connected between them naturally. This is plus, this is minus, this is male, this is female. These are two parts of the still, two parts of the vegetative, two parts of the living, and two parts of the human, which also develops the human species. And suddenly we reach the 20th century, and these two parts in the human species, they become more than the living level. They start growing beyond the program of nature, which no longer operates in them. What does operate in them? There is no program that connects them. And here they grow. Up till here they grew, and the connection between them, it was always there naturally. Suddenly they've reached some place that from it and on they grew, and there's no connection. The connection is in a form of chaos, that we have to fill this connection, and we don't know how. We look at everything as however a person feels like. Democracy, anyone can do this, do that. And someone turns sex into sex, and these do, someone does this to that. Everything becomes very, well, in short, the problems are ever growing. It's because we've reached the state where we have to complete nature, but we don't see, don't understand, we can't, what's going on with us. This is what we have to check. It's very interesting. It really sounds like the general crisis of all of us. It is the crisis of nature. It's not a financial crisis. In human society, a bit something. But it has to do with the basis of all bases. So maybe let's try and build this kind of education. Because if I understand correctly, you're saying that nature up to a certain point connected us, and from now we humans have to learn. As long as we developed, like animals, still vegetative, animate. This is how we developed on the living level, when we developed from the monkey and up to our times, almost up to the 20th century. We've developed this way, and here we go out of the natural development, egoistic development, where the ego is somehow connected between us. It's somehow determined how we're supposed to be. Because according to the ego, it's very simple. According to the ego, it's what's beneficial for me, for him, for her, and we connect. Everyone knows how many camels does he have to pay for a woman, is it worthwhile or not, because it's from, her relatives, from the same village, from this, from that. It was very clear. There was a very clear sum for everything. The payment was very clear. And accordingly, we connected and lived, and it was very clear. For what do I take her, and what am I taken for, in return for what? And when the ego ruled humanity, in its simplest way, we knew how much does a woman cost, how much does a man cost, who is suitable, matchable for whom. Everyone knew their place, and there was no problem. I took a woman, she knew what to do in life, because she also grew in the same home where she was taught everything. And then I used to take her. And that's it. And we used to continue life. Suddenly we live in a modern life where there's no man and woman, no clear roles. A woman, she has the same work as a man. She leaves home. She could even be more successful than the man, up to a point where she becomes a head of state and so on. And the man is at least like her, or sometimes less. There is full equality. That women, they go forward, and they can demand all the rights before man. They also the girls learn from this. It's not that I negate this. I'm just saying how the development in the last 100 years, even less than 100 years, also. Slavery. Only in 1950, 1960, this movement in America started. It's not from Lincoln, but we're talking about the 20th century, middle of the 20th century, where only then is it possible to say that really, in practice, the equal rights movement started between the white and the black. And accordingly, all the rest of the things. Humanity started breaking all the natural walls, boundaries that existed for hundreds and even thousands of years, the natural boundaries between man and woman, brought a woman out of all of her natural environment, which is the home, birth, children. A woman is home. And then the family as a social cell cease to exist as a family, cease to operate as a family. Today you need tremendous efforts in order to keep the family together, for it to keep us some kind of a cell without falling apart. And even more efforts in order to make it so that the children will somehow feel that they have a family because they want to escape too, and they have all options for it, and it's forbidden for me to come up to my child and tell him something, can call the police on me, and so on. the attitude became so different. I'm not saying good or bad, different from the previous natural behavior, from which we simply have to learn. If we get into it and we learn, we see the difference between what we have today and what happened 100 years ago. We'll maybe see, according to this example, how humanity flipped. And so it's not that we have to bring some kind of a correction, a bit of more proximity between man and woman in order to correct things, and also some additional lesson, sexual education lesson at school. It's funny. You see, you're laughing. Yep, now I understand. But by this we can correct. There was a revolution here where really things turned completely around and rearranged our life from upside down. And we have to understand, acknowledge this, and only after we understand, not only understand, but feel the basis. Where does it come from? Why does it happen? What was the reason? What is it supposed to lead us to? Only after that, then we will be able to decide, what is it upon us to do? What should we do? And are we capable of doing it? Or do we let it be, and however it goes with the wind, and we'll keep on sailing with no direction. Because sometimes it's better than starting to work with the wheel and sails, but you have no idea where to. So here we have to first of all inquire. The state of crisis and in accordance with these two forces, male and female. Why in the human species, where it's plus and minus and in the atoms and the different forms of the roads, the this, the that, it's arranged nicely, well, it has a solid form. Why in biology, botany, zoology, why they're the living cells that are also connected out of plus and minus. Also, we studied this in chemistry and biology. We know that that's how it is. But everything, the connection between two forces. And also, these forces, in them, there's plus and minus, and how they come together and build different forms, but already forms that are in a development of these cells, already in a gradual development connection, but it's according to the laws of nature. And afterwards, the way it happens with plants and their development and connection of the female, male and female, we know that it's either one with the other or through bees, suppose, in different means. And the way it is in the way it develops in the human species, and how it develops in the human, in the living in the living species. Not like it is in man, but how it happens on their level. Meaning, I have to see it from their nature and not from my nature, where I corrupt that connection according to how I see things. And later, the speaking species, human species, which is the most complicated, sophisticated form. And how does a person throughout history, how he took this, the natural most connection, where without the right kind of connection, there's no continuity of life here. It's like an atom can't exist if there's no plus and minus that are correctly connected between them. How man took it, and gradually throughout his development corrupted these things more and more, to the extent to which he himself became corrupted in his evil inclination, where he started separating, growing toward others, and so on. Instead of the natural relations between the sexes, the ego came in, and control and honor and different egoistic urges that grew from one generation to the next, how it influenced human nature, the human species. And we lived with it nonetheless, even though there were periods like this, like that. But we've accepted life naturally. So this is life. Until in the last century, we can say, the 20th century, we've entered a very serious crisis that there was never such, and to this day we don't understand and don't know what's going on with us. But as it says, that by nevertheless looking at the next generation, and it hurts, not that much really, we were even becoming blocked to that, deaf to that, but it hurts us what happens to the next generation. Maybe that will necessitate us to nonetheless think, what can we do here in order to prepare the right infrastructure for them and educate them correctly for the right existence. This is really a problem. Because it follows that whoever we talk to, all the parents, their heart, they have a broken heart about their children. There's barely any case where the parents can be satisfied with how things are. And they can't exactly point at what is it, and it's not that they say, no, they have to be like us. Meaning, really, that there's this conservative approach, exactly like this, why are they like this, why are they like this? No, not this foolish, narrow approach, but you see that the young generation is not in content with life. We didn't give them the right approach, the tools, give them some the right point of view of things, discernments, and therefore, really, the parents heard about this. And I think there's place here for to go to parents and bit by bit educate them this way. So first of all, this was really interesting because really through this topic of sexual education, you opened the door and you've showed for the first time I've understood the crisis, that tremendous crisis that exists between plus and minus two forces of nature until it reached a human level in its development from below up. We didn't feel that it's heading for a crisis, and when it even started in humanity, we didn't feel that it's a crisis. We'll play a bit more, a bit less with this. We're confused by Hollywood, fashion, different things. It's as if things became sexier, nicer, more playful, more flirt, romantic. We became more emotional. We did not see that behind all the dances and the freedom and all these kinds of connections, suddenly comes some kind of state where we are empty and we lose connection between us. Lose connection. That even the connection between the man, male and female, it's no longer a connection. It's a connection to some kind of a exploitation of each other for a short time, and something out of which we, because we follow the different techniques, we lost the emotion there and it stayed empty. And today, go into a sex shop, take some plastic, whatever, and do what you want, and that's it. You have life. He maybe takes an inflating doll, and she something else. And it's headed for things that there are no feelings and no connection in it. And then what happens is that, all in all, and today there's serious talk going about this, and I'm interested in it because it has to do with the future of humanity, about how will we continue multiplying the next generation through different artificial ways in hospitals, like this, like that. It also has to do with sex, that we want to choose the children like we want them and how they'll grow in a way where a woman doesn't have to give birth naturally in order not to distort her body. And it's all going towards such mechanization where everything are machines. And here we are, because we're lacking the right preparation of the young generation, we've completely lost. Suddenly all the feelings kind of fled out of it, drifted out. Because if I look at previous generations, what did we have? I used to come to my uncle, suppose. He had a daughter. I'd say, give me. He used to give me. And so, to this day, there are many cases where young couples don't meet, but it's their parents that choose for them. My teacher told me that it was the same with him. In the evening, his parents came home, and they said, Baruch, we found you a woman. It was, he says, on a Sunday or Monday, and they said, Thursday, you're getting married. That's that. He didn't see, didn't anything. And I had to say, and there was no question about it. The parents who have experience in life and know their son, and they understand everything. Who else, if not they, that could choose the suitable thing for him? They gave birth to him. They grew him this whole time. Now they're getting him married. They give him a small push in order to continue life together with her. And that's it. That's how it's supposed to be. And here today, where do the parents have anything to do with it? You invite them to the wedding, if there's going to be one. It's also, we have to understand that it happened only in the last 150 years. So, before that, there was no such thing that I get married to her because I love her. It's only today that they write novels about something that happened 100 or 500 years ago. It was no such thing. There was no such thing like love in today's terminology. There was the matter of compatibility. And compatibility on the normal, simple levels. I need a woman that knows how to cook, how to arrange the home, take care of me, the children, and with her, I'll live for her to, of course, be healthy and so on. What else do I need? And also she has to understand that I'm a fellow who's ready to work and provide everything that's necessary. The problem is that everything, this entire attitude between the man and the woman, where the woman is the home and the man is outside of the home, meaning that he leaves home and comes back in order to make a livelihood, that whole thing broke. Look, we can't say that it's good or bad, but how can we compensate with our new education so that this connection will nonetheless remain, because then we can keep the family cell. From what I understood from this entire conversation is, if previously we had the natural instincts to connect between us, today we have seemingly lost these natural instincts. We don't know how to correctly connect between us, between these two forces of the male and female. And the education, the same education that we can call education for sexuality, is what teaches us how to connect, how to correctly connect between the two most fundamental forces. That is actually what the integral education has to give us. That's we'll talk about it. And we'll come to that. I'd like to ask one more small thing, because we're coming to the end of the show. You're talking about, because we follow different techniques, so we've lost all our feelings, emotions. You're giving an example of different sex props instead of feelings and connection. It's not only the props, it's the dancing and the culture and the Hollywood and different things. And it's also something natural. I'm not saying that it's artificial. It's all part of our nature, but the egoistic nature, when it started, that started developing, especially in the last 100 years. It wasn't like this before. Until the 20th century, we pretty much developed on the animalistic level, the real speaking level, where we became humans, that a woman came out of home, and the men, they started feeling that they're free, that the borders between the people started breaking down, between countries, different connections around the world with the radio. That started in the beginning of the 20th century, then television in the beginning of the 20th century, then from the 90s, the internet. Till now, you can see the pace of things, how much shorter each new period is than the previous one, more intense and stronger. So we're in development. We're undergoing a very strong development, a big development. I'm not disregarding it. I appreciate it, but we do not complete what is upon us to complete and compensate for. I have no criticism over the development of humanity, the corruptions, the corrections, neither good nor bad. I look at it as a researcher. There's no personal there's no personal attitude toward everything. It's like a wolf eating the sheep. A small child can say, look what he's doing, he's so bad, and he might cry, and let's hit him. I'm not looking at it this way. So what is it that we have to complete? One sentence, if you can say, so we'll know in which direction to go. This compensation that you're talking about and the connection between the species, male and female, what's the direction? The connection between them can be on the middle line, that we educate the male and the female, that the connection has to be above them, above sex, for them to look for something higher. That we've started the development of people and not the animalistic level. Now, in the past century, only now we started developing on the human level. So let's be on the degree of the so-called Adam, from the word Adam Elion, to be like the upper. That without the right connection in the middle line and the connection of these two forces for the sake of the, call it spiritual or even human, doesn't matter, but for something emotional, mutual, and new to come out of us. And sex is sex. Leave it aside. Separate the two. Discern the two. When you say middle line, what do you mean? I mean that by the right connection between us when we build something, that it's not necessarily a man and a woman. But between us, there has to be some kind of a new creation. Not a corporeal creation like children, but according to how we have a child as a result of the corporeal connection, here there has to be an emotional connection, warmth, contact, connection, a mutual source, a mutual heart between us. Between the male and the female, or between all the men and all the women, if we're talking about humanity with a global problem. And here it has, there has to be the solution. Without it, we completely lose all directions. That's why I'm saying that this crisis that happens as if between the species is the fundamental crisis, that if you approach it correctly and it's close to everyone, if we turn to it correctly, then by that we can correct all the other relations that exist in the human species, and that's how we'll progress to the general correction. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. It was a very interesting thing to meet you. And thank you for being with us, and we'll learn how to build warmth, connection, and new life between us. All the best.